Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board. The time is 8:43 p.m. Eastern Time. It's July 15th, 2021, and I'd like to ask our recording secretary, Marianne, to please call the roll.
I will do that. Chris Corey.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Good. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Good. I presume Jose Gutierrez continues to be excused. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. I have communication with Jose. He's still not able to attend because he can't switch his medical dates.
Okay, I can barely hear you, Lawrence, but I think I got the gist. Julie Hewitt. Julie? Okay, I hear nothing. Sabrina Jacobs?
Here.
Good. Wally James?
Here.
Good. Dwayne Lark? Dwayne Lark, are you muted? Okay, I'll make a second round. Ali Lexa?
Present.
Good. Thomas O'Rourke. Thomas O'Rourke. Go around a second time. Jim Osborne, I received an email that he was asking for an excused absence. Ron Pinchback? What was that? I'm not hearing anything. Ralph Pointer. Hearing nothing. Sandra Rawline.
I'm here.
Good. Reyes.
Presente. Presente.
And I can see you, if not hear you. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Andrea Turner.
Marianne, we got a request for an excused absence from Andrea, from Jim Osborne, and from Tom Voorhees.
Okay. Beth Van Gunten.
Here.
Good. And Tom did ask for an excused absence. Alex Steinberg.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good to hear. Hang on, let me try again. Let's see. Julie Hewitt. Any word on Julie here? I am hearing none. Dwayne Lark. Can anybody else see or hear Dwayne?
Dwayne is going to be a little late. He just texted me.
Okay, gotcha.
Chair, may I be recognized? This is James.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll call you the chair for now.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
Don't worry. I got a communication on Tuesday that Julie was going to miss the National Finance Committee meeting because she's on vacation. So I think that may still be the case. He was away from the email.
Jim, while you're there, did you notify Eileen Rosen to get about the meeting?
I did.
Okay, great.
Okay, let's keep going here. Thomas O'Rourke. Anybody know or hear of, is Thomas on or, does anyone know why he's not?
Are any of the Washington DC people on the call?
Yes. Vanessa's here. Ron is on his way. I'm not sure where Thomas is.
Okay.
Not present for now. Going to be late. Does anybody know?
Here.
And this time, Ralph Pointer. Okay.
This is Ron joining the meeting.
Oh, good. Okay. So Lydia Bresson. Lydia? Anita Sims.
Here.
Good. Polina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Good. I presume Arthur will wait for the executive session. John Tatum.
I'm here.
Good. And I am here. So we do not know where Ralph Pointer is. And someone said Thomas O'Rourke was not going to be here, or?
Don't know.
Don't know. Okay. I have discombobulated, oops. Oy, oy, oy. What did I just do? There it is. So that is the roll call.
How many people are present?
We have, let's see. Come on. Oh. Excuse me while it tries to, excuse me while my roster disappears on me. There it is again. Okay, we have 11. Let me do that again. 11. Are there 11 board members present?
We're one short of a quorum.
I'm sorry, but I count 13. And I'll name them for you.
Wait a second. You know what? I think I found my mistake. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have a quorum.
Okay, then the meeting can go on.
But this is Lydia. I'm going to mute.
Okay, welcome, Lydia.
Thomas O'Rourke is trying to get in. He'll be in momentarily.
Okay. Okay, the first item, some housekeeping items. First, the report out from our closed session of July 8th. This is the report. The PNB met in closed session and approved the new collective bargaining agreement for KPFA and discussed other legal and personnel matters. That's the report. And now we have the next item is excused absences. I had a request from Jim Osborne and Tom Voorhees. Is that right?
And Andrea Tyson.
And Andrea Turner. Okay.
Mr. Chair, O'Rourke is present right now.
Okay, welcome. Okay, so we have those three people requested an excused absence. Is there anybody else who requested an excused absence that I'm not aware of? Okay, do we have a motion to excuse Jim, Tom, and Andrea? Somebody make that motion, please.
So moved.
Can we have a second on that?
Yes, O'Rourke.
Okay. Is there any objections to excusing Jim, Tom, and Andrea? Okay, hearing none, those three people are excused. Next item is identify timekeepers. Who would like to volunteer for the topics timekeeping.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I'll customarily volunteer.
Okay, terrific. And who would like to volunteer for the people timekeeping?
James.
James, okay, wonderful. Thank you. Next is announcements. I have an announcement. I'm announcing that a new bylaws amendment period begins today. And that should be recorded by the secretary. It's a requirement in our bylaws before we can actually begin the amendment process. Okay. Next we go on to the approval of the agenda. Let me now read the draft agenda. Agenda approval is a 20-minute item. That's followed by approval of the minutes of open session of July 8th, 2021, if they're available. That's a 3-minute item. That's followed by a report from the chair on the referendum, followed by a motion. And that's a 5-minute item. That's followed by the report from our IED, Lydia Brazone. That's a 10-minute item. That's followed by a joint report from the ICFO and the Audit Committee, which will consist of Anita and the Chair of the Audit Committee, Eileen Rosen. And that's a 30-minute item. That's followed by other committee reports. We have an item that's a 20-minute item in total, and there will be a 15-minute item from the Finance Committee, and the rest of the time will be divided up with whatever other committee reports there are. That's followed by unfinished business, new business, and under new business, there's a motion from Director Lawrence Arias. And then we adjourn for closed session after that. So, can I have a motion to approve the draft agenda?
So moved, Lawrence.
Okay, can we get a second?
Second. James.
Okay. Does anybody wish to amend the draft agenda or discuss any item in the draft agenda? Okay. Then are there any objections then to the draft agenda? Okay, the draft agenda then is adopted. So the first item, what is the first item? I forget now. Scroll back. Oh, approval of minutes. Do we have the minutes from the July 8th open session?
Yes, we do.
Okay, does anybody have any corrections to offer on those minutes? Okay.
This is Beth. This is Beth.
Hi, Beth.
I would like to request to receive copies of the minutes and any appendices for today's meeting and for future meetings. I don't have a Google account. I don't want a Google account. I don't do Google, and that puts it beyond my reach. So I would be grateful to receive in my inbox. Thank you.
I think that's very reasonable. I don't think we need to vote on that. Is that a problem, Polina?
No, not at all. I will right now go ahead and email all the links in the agenda to everybody as attachments as well for your convenience. I understand that not everybody has access to Google Drive. I forgot about that. Thank you.
Polina, okay. Chair, may I be recognized, Lawrence?
Sure.
And I don't mean to speak up for Beth. She's very capable of doing that on her own. But there's some people that don't subscribe to Google and don't want to. And I'm also one of them. So if you could I think what Beth is requesting that she be in bots with the minutes, not linked.
Well, there is DuckDuckGoGo instead of Google. Some of you are into that.
This is Beth. Just to clarify, what I'm requesting is that I don't think I should have to sign up as a customer with a private, for-profit, third-party data predator of any kind to get the Pacifica documents.
I got you. I got it.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, I didn't hear any corrections to the minutes. So the minutes for the July 8th, 2021 meeting are approved. They can always be corrected later. Okay, the next item is my report on the referendum. It'll be a very quick one. Okay, I mean, you all know the numbers at this point, I think. 56% of the listeners that participated in the referendum voted yes. 58% of staff that participated in them voting no. Both classes of voters had to approve the amendments for them to pass. And let me read you the section of our bylaws that deals with that. And I'm reading verbatim. This is from section 4. It's part of Article 17, which deals with bylaws amendments. To be approved, a proposed amendment must receive the approval of the members by a majority vote, provided that a quorum must be established by written ballot. If the proposed amendment would impact one class of members differently from another class, the members shall vote in classes, and the majority vote of the members of each class shall be required to approve the amendments, provided that a quorum of each class must be established by written ballot. The results of said amendment ballot shall be reported within 30 days of the date the ballots must be returned to be counted and shall be posted on the Foundation's website. We will get more information as to the breakdown of the voting by station. That's not available yet. In any case, the according to the bylaws, the amendments failed.
And into the stack.
Not only according to the ballots, but we also had an agreement with New Day Pacifica through their attorney and our attorney that the election process would be exactly the same as in the previous referendum, the one that ended in March of 2020. So let me just say a few more things about this. First, the significance of this vote. Clearly, it tells us that Pacifica is divided, and the division is not only within among listeners and among staff, but also between the stations. Some stations voted very, very heavily yes. Other stations voted very, very heavily no. I think we need to bring those who voted yes and those who voted no together to build Pacifica. Clearly, we need to address some of the concerns of those who voted yes. And I hope that whatever your position was on the referendum, that we can work collaboratively toward that goal. What we cannot afford is another cycle of lawsuits and more referendums. There were many violations of the Fair Campaigns provisions during this election, this referendum cycle. I think these should be investigated and a full report should be produced documenting exactly what happened. I don't think we're ready to figure out how to do that this evening, but perhaps this is something to think about for the next meeting as to how that's going to happen. And that's basically my report, and there's a motion that goes with it. Let me read the motion. And once we do that, I'll open up the floor. Is the motion back here? Okay. Whereas the 2021 Pacifica Bylaws Referendum membership vote is complete, and whereas Pacifica has the duty to inform members of the results of the membership vote, be it resolved that the PNB instructs the National Election Supervisor to produce two carts, one in English and one in Spanish, for stations with Spanish language programming blocks, to announce the results of the membership vote. Also resolved that station management is instructed to run these announcements on the air for a period of 2 weeks at regular 2-hour intervals at all times of day and night, starting on the day the cards are made available. So I'd like a second for that motion.
Alex, I'd like to intervene at this moment. Can you please
Ralph,
the language of that motion so that I can add
it? It's in the agenda. It's in the appendix to the agenda.
I'm not seeing it.
You're not seeing it?
Oh, yeah, I'll seek recognition, Lawrence.
I see. I'm sorry.
Okay. Before we go on, I need a second on that.
Chair, I seek the floor. Chair, Lawrence.
Lawrence?
I seek the floor to second the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Lawrence.
To the stack.
This is only a 5-minute item, so I think if we're going to debate it, we will need a small extension. Does somebody want to, make a motion to extend for 5 minutes? Hello?
James, so moved.
I second.
Heather, I second. Okay.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending for 5 minutes? Okay, so who wants the stack?
Lyndon has requested the stack.
Okay, Lyndon, who else? Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Lyndon.
Yes, I'd just like to make sure that all our listeners are aware that the listener vote was 6,640 yes and 5,216 no. So the listeners voted 56-44 for the new bylaw amendment. Staff had a total of 255 no and 180 yes. So by a slim margin of 75 in the staff, basically the yes vote won by 1,300 and some odd votes. And right. I would also like all the listeners to know that what the part of the bylaws the chair read tonight are not the entire pertinent bylaws. There's something about an adverse and material and adverse effect that was left out of his speech. Thank you.
Can you point me to what you're talking about in the bylaws, Lyndon?
Ron to the stack.
And Lawrence to the stack.
Okay, Ron, then Lawrence.
You know, once again, you know, this is that, I'm just going to say it, guys, that Trumpian reasoning, okay? You know, you had an agreement, New Day, and, you know, the no side had an agreement that the referendum would be conducted just like the one last year. Nothing's changed. The results always were dependent upon, you know, the staff vote as well as the listener vote. Both of those were tallied independently as they were. And if you don't win both, you don't win either. Okay? Those were the rules of the game. So please, you know, don't misrepresent the referendum. You know, because it would be just as easy for us to say, well, the staff won, you know, because we won a majority, you know, of those votes. So the rules are in place for a reason. Play by the rules or get off the field.
Okay, Lawrence.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't hear, anyone, with the previous iteration. But it was a 2-1 polarity during the last bylaws attempt from the Pacifica Restructuring Project, where everybody voted almost 2-1 against. Now, there's still people in this country that think somebody is president who's not president. So I don't want to mention any names because somebody's trying to hold on their dinner. So I won't mention the name. But the fact is that we have bylaws, and you can cherry pick the parts of the bylaws that you think you can manipulate for your cause, and not be congruent and completely literal and understanding of the interpretation of the bylaws that we need. The bylaws were created with two classes of members, staff and listeners. And we have staff representatives here and listeners representatives here on the PNB. It strikes me as very concerning when someone who, according to the current bylaws, were able to get elected onto this national board, but yet wants to dismantle that very same equality for other people that have been through the same process. Thank you. Okay. I need 15 seconds.
We're not once more debating the current bylaws versus.
No, we're not. I just wanted to summarize by saying this, Chair. I need 15 seconds. I just wanted to say by saying this is that, you know, when you enter into a compact, that's the MOU that you agree to. Memorandum of understanding, and so you could try to undo that, but I don't think you have a chance in hell. Thank you.
Dwayne Lark, to the stack.
Okay, how much time do we have left, timekeeper?
We have 45 seconds, Chair.
All right, Dwayne, make it quick.
Well, I move to extend 2 minutes in that case.
I second. 9 seconds.
Okay, do we have any objections to extending for 2 minutes? Okay, 2 more minutes. Go ahead, Dwayne.
All right, first off, I'd like to be recognized from the Secretary for being in the meeting. And secondly, I understand and agree that you pointed out that we were not going to litigate this matter again, so I call the question.
Okay, are there any objections to calling the question? I think we're kind of almost pretty much done with the discussion anyway. Okay, are there any objections to the motion I put forward? The motion is simply to produce cards to, announce the results. Are there any objections?
Yes, I object.
Okay. Let's go to a vote. Marion, could you please take the roll?
I will do so.
Would you state the vote, what we're voting on? We're out there.
Okay, I'll read the motion one more time. The Pacifica, where is it? Oh, here it is. Whereas the 2020 Pacifica Bylaws Referendum membership vote is complete, and whereas Pacifica has the duty to inform members of the results of the membership vote, be it resolved that the PNB instructs the National Election Supervisor to produce 2 cards, one in English and one in Spanish, for stations with Spanish language programming blocks to announce the results of the membership vote. Also resolved that station management is instructed to run these announcements on the air for a period of 2 weeks, at regular 2-hour intervals at all times of day and night, starting on the day the cards are made available. Let's go with the vote.
Okay. Chris Corey?
Yes.
Okay. And there, Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Yes. Lyndon Foley?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Yes. Julie Hewitt. Oh, she's excused. I'm sorry. Serena.
Oh, God.
That's okay. No, don't worry.
I just left my person.
Don't see how much money that is.
Sabrina Jacobs.
He said never mind.
Yes.
Wally
Ralph, you need to mute yourself, Ralph.
Wally James? Wally James? Are you voting? I'm going to leave it blank for now. Dwayne Lark? What's going on? I'm not hearing people.
Just come back, Marianne.
Okay. No, I wasn't sure anybody was hearing me. Okay. Ali Lexa.
No.
Votes no. Thomas O'Rourke.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ron Pinchback.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ralph Pointer.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sandra Rawline.
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes.
Si.
Indeed. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Andrea is excused. Beth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Tom is excused. Let me see if we can catch those few. Wally James. Somebody rattle Wally's chain and get him to unmute. I am not hearing anything. Dwayne Lark.
Yes, yes. Dwayne, yes.
Good, thank you. I have not heard anything from Wally James. Other than that, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yeses and 3 noes. Alex, how do you wish to vote? Alex?
Yes, yes.
You vote yes? That makes 13 yes and 3 no, and we have not heard from Wally James.
That would be an abstention.
Okay, we'll consider that an abstention. So 13 yes and 3 no. I believe the motion carries.
Okay. And then we go on to the next item on the agenda, which is the report from our IED, Lydia Brazum. Lydia, you're up.
Chair, can you give me a time for that item, please?
It's a 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized as parliamentarian?
Sure.
Just a couple of parliamentary points. When you second motions, you do not have to be recognized. But when you're making a motion, you do have to be recognized. And don't forget, we have a raise your hand feature built into Zoom. It's very important that we try to use it, because the raise your hand features puts people in the order of their hand raising from top to bottom. That way the chair will know who had their hand up first, second, third, and fourth. So just a couple of tidbits. Thank you.
Thank you for that bit of advice. And I hope we can use that feature, and I will try to use it more and more, because that is a very handy thing to know exactly who wanted to be recognized first. Sometimes it gets confusing. Okay. Lydia.
Wally is here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you, Wally.
Okay, so I'm back. I don't know what was going on with the phone. I had to hang up and dial back in.
Okay. Lydia, are you ready for your report?
Yes. Excuse me. So the main highlight is, and at the previous meeting, we had approved the exemptions to our hire freeze for both KPFK and KPFT, among a few other positions with board ops at different stations and so forth. And because we had already have been advertising to fill the positions both at KPFT and KPFK, since we had had resignations from both of the general managers, one at each of those stations. And I am happy to announce that we have now, let me explain the process first. So for those who are listening on the stream, is that we have search committees out of the LSBs. And so KPFK produced an extraordinary pool of candidates. If we were flush, I think I could have hired all of them for something in Pacifica. It was very impressive, and their statements as to why they would apply now was equally as impressive. So from that pool that was sent to me, and at KPFK, they elected to rank as well. That is not required in the bylaws or by process, but they elected to do that, which is fine. And so from the pool, Pacifica Foundation is pleased to announce that we have engaged as general manager of Los Angeles station KPFK, Pacifica station, Miquel Calzada. And some of those at KPFT search committee will remember him from their pool as well. He is coming to us from KOPN in Missouri, where he has been station manager, and then he has abroad in Catalonia had owned, operated two radio stations. He's a freelance columnist, radio show host. I've also seen a documentary that he did around Afghanistan, on a trip to Afghanistan. And so we are very pleased to welcome him. And he will start September 15th. He will come in advance of that to find housing in Los Angeles. And so we're very happy to welcome Miquel, that's with a Q. And I was calling him Miguel for a while, Calzada. And that's like the highlight of anything that I could report. Everything else has been, you know, a series of the various reports we have to turn in and our usual process of Pacifica business.
Okay. Well, we have a few minutes for Q&A, and I just want to say welcome to Miquel. How do you pronounce his last name, Lydia?
It's Calzada, and it's C-A-L-C-A-D-A, but the second C is pronounced closer to an S.
Okay. I'll get used to it. okay. Does anybody have any questions for?
My hand's been up for a while.
Okay. Let me see. Hold on. I have. So Ali, you're first. Go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned that looking for housing and so forth. Did you announce a proposed start date for Miguel?
Yes, September 15th. But he'll be in town in August, and he does want to meet folks at the station when he's here looking for some housing.
Then
he'll leave and come back.
Can you repeat that date?
September 15th.
No, the date that he'll be in town.
I don't know that I have the exact dates for his coming. He's just coming in to look for housing in early August.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? I don't see any other hands.
Lyndon for the SAC.
Lyndon, okay. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yes. Lydia, I saw that our council made a comment on a email thread that the PNB had done an investigation into something that we were talking about just recently. And I don't recall seeing an investigation.
Yeah, point of order, Chair. Point of order, Chair.
We cannot hold on.
It's on the email thread.
You're about to discuss something that's a personnel matter. We cannot do it in open session.
And also, I don't. Just so you know, I don't see PNB email threads, so unless something is addressed to me, I may not have seen it. If it involves personnel, that will have to be discussed in closed session.
Do you have anything else you want to speak about, Lyndon?
Yes, I do. I'd like to say that I still haven't seen the listing on a website for the building in Houston.
Okay.
That flyer is, that's pretty amateurish. I mean, why don't we have you couldn't send me a link where it has to a website.
Okay. They have started showing, the property. They had someone, interested in the property, yesterday that went to see the property. So there you go. Somebody's seeing them. But I'll definitely, I have not checked out. I have not gone onto their website other than what I was sent, but I will do that.
Well, I brought that subject up like this is the third time.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you up. Did you have anything more you wanted to add, Lydia?
No, that was the highlight. I think I just wanted to comment that, despite everything that most of us, end up enveloping ourselves in, that folks out there are aware of, let's say, the bylaws differences and all of that. And they still applied. So each one of them were aware of Pacifica. They were aware of all of these things. These are people who are employed, and they are employed in professions that are in media. And like I said, I was really energized. And this is the first time I've really been really energized after hearing their interviews. It was a real shot in the arms, and I want to compliment, actually both of those search committees ultimately produced an excellent pool, but LA was rather spectacular, I must say. And I want to compliment the search committee at KPFK because the questions were really incisive, and they lent themselves to draw out the real meat of things, as it were. Maybe meat is not the right word. But again, we get sometimes we get down on our own perspective of what's going on. And here are people that are looking to Pacifica very optimistically. And each one of them had said, because they can see the potential, also, I asked the question in the individual interviews as to what prompted them to apply now. Someone said because of George Floyd, looking at that person's going forward in life and how that person wanted to spend their time and so forth. Others were because of the previous administration. It was basically a sign of the times. They were very energized, but they were not going into it blindly. They were very aware of all of our programming for the most part. They were aware of the issues. They had seen the finances, all of these things, and were coming up with incredible ideas, to raise funds and to do this and to do that. It was really encouraging. So it was one of the most energizing processes that I've gone through. So I was very pleased about that on a personal note. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. We still have a couple of minutes, I think. Does anybody else?
Wayne Lark to the stack.
Wayne? Okay.
Okay. Lydia, could you tell me why the property is not listed on the Houston Area Realtors Association's Houston Realtors Association website, which is about 95-98% of properties listed?
No, but I can certainly ask.
Well, I would say that is problematic, notwithstanding the issue that Lyndon keep bringing up about a website. I don't really believe people go to a website to purchase a property unless they're an insider with that particular realtor. But I had someone give me a call who indicated they knew someone who was interested and they were looking at HAR and the property had not been listed. And that's problematic.
Okay. I will definitely check that out, both of those, yours and Lyndon's concerns, tomorrow after a meeting that I have to do for Pacifica in the morning.
Chair, we are at time for this item.
Okay. The next item is a report from the ICFO and the Audit Committee. Anita, do you want to go first?
I think Eileen should go first as chair, and then I'll chime in as needed.
Okay. Eileen, are you here?
Yep, I'm here. Hi, everybody. How are you doing?
Hi.
I think most of you or all of you will have gotten the news that we sent today, that the audit was actually reissued, and just yesterday it was an earlier version of the audit. The original version was ready and on June 30th, which was our original deadline. I know that probably some of you have questions about the deadline that seemed to exist and then not exist. It was a little confusing. We're still not entirely sure where the original June 30th deadline came from. We realized, I guess right after that there was not a hard and fast June 30th deadline, but we thought there were. Different people thought different things. I had thought it was a condition of getting the loan extension. Somebody else thought it had to do with the CPB. We were looking on the California Attorney General's website and did come across something that said that the audit must be available for inspection by the AG on June 30th. So 9 months after the close of the fiscal year. So we think that's probably where that deadline first came from. But then we're not sure, and we need to do a little more research on this. I came across something somewhere that said that you had to present the audit with the 990, that nobody wanted to see the audit without the 990 and the California RRF1, I think it's the registration renewal form every year. Somebody else advised me that that was not true. So we need to find the real rules or laws in California to do that. But I'm just trying to explain to you why there was some confusion about that deadline. And, we're still working on it. But at the very least, we're really happy it got done on time. But we did then have time to look at it a little more carefully, and we spoke with the woman at NETA, Cynthia Dobek, and then with the third-party administrator of our pension funds and with the auditor to see if what exactly was in that number that had been in the pension fund liabilities, that was around like 500 and, what was it, $547,000, something like that. And that was not anything having to do with any amount of money we owed to the actual pension. It was for fines, for fees. I don't know what other kinds of costs. And so that was a number that reflected the worst possible, most pessimistic amount that we could possibly be in for, but it dated back a while, some years actually. And we checked with the third party administrator especially, who's very, very knowledgeable about these things. It turned out that we were not going to owe anything like that. And actually, if you look at the new version, the reissue of the audit, you'll see that 547,000 has turned into 8,000. And those will basically be filing fees for when we do finish the pension audits and submit them. Some of the pension audits are done, not all of them, but there's a deal where if we submit them at the same time, a number of years, I think, at the same time, they'll kind of bundle them together, and it would be only $4,000. If we submit them separately, it's $2,000 each. So that's what that number is based on at this point. The auditor did, between conversations that he had or email exchanges with the third party administrator and with Cynthia Dobek, who's the human resources person at NETA, who also deals with the pension issues. They were able to provide him with enough information, for him to feel comfortable with the numbers, relating to the pension funds. If you looked at the first version of the audit, which I hope you will all now throw away because it shouldn't be circulating, and, you know, even the 2019 or the 2018 and earlier years audits, part of the problem was that the auditor did not feel that he had good enough, he didn't have enough confidence in the numbers about the pensions, the pension funds, to be able to pronounce on Pacifica's overall financial health. But with the information he was able to get just in the past couple of weeks, he does feel comfortable. The pension funds are completely up to date. They weren't as of September 30th, but they were getting there. Now they're completely funded. So between that, well, that was the most important thing. And the fact that, you know, over the past 2 or 3 years, a lot of work and effort has been put into organizing all the pension fund information. You know, we have the two different plans. One has been suspended as of December, but we still had to get all the information for both plans. And that meant, that included making sure that people's personnel records were complete. They were not always complete. So that was one of the big problems and one of the reasons for some of what has appeared to be a delay, but we didn't have higher dates. This is, you know, has to do with records going back years and years.
Record keeping.
Keeping from years and years. You know, if we didn't have somebody's higher date, then you can't calculate what their pension was. Then you had to go and dig somewhere else to hope to find some other records that would substantiate that, you know, things like that. So, Ron, are you trying to interrupt?
No, I'm just trying to. Okay. I'm hearing stuff. I'm just trying to sort it all out.
Yeah, it's confusing. Believe me, I can't even always quite keep all the pension fund information in my head. And, you know, I try to write it down, then I, you know. Anyway, okay, I'll try to make a long story short then. You know, some people are interested in the detail and some people aren't. So the point is that, you know, we're up to date. We've got all the information. We're working on the audits. They're coming along. The auditor felt comfortable enough to review that number, the pension liabilities, and felt comfortable enough with all the information on what we do have to lift the disclaimer from the audit. Which means that now the audit of the Pacifica Foundation as of fiscal year 2020 is now presenting reliable numbers and a reliable financial situation. The numbers in there can be believed. It's not all great news. There are still things like, you know, the going concern and a couple of other things, but it's a lot better, you know. And now I think we're going to have the 990, the tax return done pretty soon, probably next week, the way
it
is working. And I expect we'll be able to submit all that to California ahead of schedule. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that the actual due date for the tax returns is August 15th. Well, 16th, because the 15th is a Sunday. And so, but we'll have it ready before that. So we'll be able to send it in ahead of time. Imagine, Pacifica, ahead of time. So we're pretty happy about that. And, you know, there's an audit committee meeting on Tuesday, and Jorge Diaz from Rogers and Company will be there to present the audit to us. And I hope that, you know, many of you will tune into the stream to hear what he's got to say.
This is Lawrence, Chair. Two things. We're out of time for this item. And the second thing is in reactions.
Lawrence, this is a 30-minute item. I don't think we're out of time.
Oh, I thought you said 10. Maybe that was Lydia's. I'm sorry. I apologize, Eileen. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chair.
I don't know. You interrupted me in my last sentence pretty much.
The reactions thing doesn't work. It's just a wave and a clap.
Okay. We have some people on the stack, but before we go on the stack, I'd like to ask Anita to say a few words.
I just wanted to comment that staff is working on the tax return. Our internal audit is this Friday. Obviously we don't meet Friday. We will have it early next week. So we're getting the information that we need from some of the stations, like minutes and, listings of board members. We're making great progress. And we're also working on the other deadline that we have, but all is good. And I also was very pleased when they reissued, the audit, and in his email to us, it does say that it's a huge improvement to the financials. And again, I will comment that accrual, if you will, that had been recorded year after year, we didn't have good support. And that was really the reason for leaving it until we felt comfortable to have it removed. So I'm glad that the decision was made and we moved forward on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. Thank you, Anita.
Can I just say one more? People were concerned. You know, I think there was some, you know, it all seemed mysterious. People didn't know what was going on with the audit. But until we were sure that that this would work out this way, we didn't want to, you know, spread news that, you know, oh, we're reviewing the audit and it might be better. We're not sure yet. You know, you don't want to do that. We didn't want to like create expectations just in case they couldn't be met. So that's why, you know, if you think you didn't hear, if what you heard seemed confusing or vague, that's why we were waiting to be sure about what we could say. That's all.
Thank you. Okay, we'll start with the stack. I see Paulina was first, so Paulina, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I muted myself. Thank you for the report. I was also wondering about the deadline of June 30th, and from research provided to me by people who care about Pacifica, I was able to find the pertinent article of the California Code of Incorporations, chap. That's I can cite it and send the link to everybody. It's Article 12586, and it states that we are supposed to provide the audit as you stated, 9 months after the close of the fiscal year, and there's no extension available. So Was the audit actually presented prior to being revised to the Attorney General, and how are we standing with the Attorney General? I'm curious. Thank you.
It was not provided to the Attorney General. As far as how we stand with them, maybe Anita knows more about that. Like I tried to explain, we're not, I'm sorry, did I bring that up here or in another conversation? I was looking into that deadline issue, but I didn't have enough time to research it more thoroughly. It's the way it's stated in the, what is it, the integrity code, what is it called? You know, the one.
I think it referred to having it available for review. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the way I read it, and I'm not sure exactly what that means. So
we're looking into it also, but I don't have an answer for you other than that.
Thank you. This is Lydia.